Are you interested in bringing communities together? Are you interested in bridging cultural and communication gaps? Are you interested in podcasting? We want to help build a better world through better understanding of one another. And we want to amplify your voice in the conversation. So bring your ideas and voice to the Venn Network. We will help you bring your voice to the world.
Two radicals came here to this country, were radicalized.
For that terror attack overseas.
Assalamu alaikum, ladies and gentlemen. Assalamu alaikum, boys and girls. Welcome to another life-altering, just riveted to your seat episode of Raw Islam with Imam Azhar. And we are here again tonight, live on Facebook. And if you missed the live on Facebook, you can always find us on iTunes and on Stitcher and on TuneIn. And you can find all the links where you can download the show at thevennetwork.org. And you can also find all of our other shows there, like Islamic Faith with Imam Hassan, which is new to the network. So go over to the website, give him a little love, welcome him to the network. And now I continue to talk because I don't know why, because that's what I get paid to do. Not really. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the hardest working imam that I know, Imam Azhar.
Assalamu alaikum, everybody. Thank you so much. And Carl, you just forgot the most important platform for me as an Android lover is Google Play. You know,
I we are on Google Play as well.
Yeah, I know you're an iPhone person, but you know, I have some biasness against iPhones and Apple, so I'll have to say Google Play also. We want to thank all our audience tonight who are here with us live on Facebook Live, and for those who continue to tune in, download, and share with their friends Raw Islam with Imam Azhar on the many and various platforms that Carl articulated. And Carl, tonight's a very amazing night. It's one of those things that they call once in a blue moon, because tonight is a blue moon, and it's a blood moon, and it's a super moon. And anticipate for a lunar eclipse early this upcoming morning, which actually tomorrow morning, and also for the people of California later tonight. So Carl, how are you?
Alhamdulillah, I am very good, and the camera is still on you. Hold on just one second. I am just tweeting this out so that all of our followers on Twitter know that we're here, because we're cool like that. Yes, I'm good. Alhamdulillah, thank you very much. And it's a joy to be here this evening with you, as always, because, you know, I've told my wife this on more than one occasion, which is just simply that for me, this is my own private khutbah that I get once a week. And it's I enjoy this. I love this. I love these moments. I love interacting with our listeners. I love interacting with our fans and our audience. But most of all, I love interacting with you.
Alhamdulillah. It's a blessing and it's an honor. And I'm humbled by that, Carl. Thank you so much. And, you know, as much as I anticipate and I look forward to every Tuesdays when I could sit down with you and we could have a small little conversation before the show and somewhat of a extended conversation after the show and catch up with each other on things. For some reason, Carl, I'm starting to feel more agitated and aggravated. And it's really, it's not because I'm mad. It's not because I'm mad due to someone saying something or doing something. It's because I can't put my finger on a problem. It's like water is in your basement, right? And so you kind of dry it up, and then you come back after 5-6 hours of water in your basement again. And this is a real story, because when we moved into our house in Canada, and my father elevated the floor on half the basement, there was times when water would seep out from that elevated half and go into the half that wasn't elevated. So we're like, where did this water come from? So it's initially like, okay, did you guys drop something? Mom would ask. No, we didn't. Did you guys bring something downstairs? What happened? And we couldn't wrap our hands or head around it. Ultimately, after much frustration, we come to know that on the total opposite side where the elevation touched the wall, there was a crack in the foundation of the sidewall, which required for them to come in, dig up from outside, and correct that. But Carl, it's like you have a problem here, and you come to figure out that the trigger point is so far away. And that's what's frustrating me, Carl. And it's really, I've kind of gone to this point where I feel like, you know, just go into a cocoon, zip up, not in anticipation of becoming a butterfly, but just staying as a caterpillar, because it's frustrating, Carl. If you can understand, please say something.
No, I totally understand what you're saying, and it actually seems like a good point for, or a good place for me to footnote. If anybody hears any noise in the background this evening, it's because, lo and behold, I had water in our basement this week, and there is a 10-foot hole in my front yard right now.
Wow.
So, yeah, I came home to that. But, no, I totally understand what you're saying, because as a human, you know, we are programmed with our fight or flight instincts. That's how we're programmed. That's how Allah made us, is that fight or flight. And, you know, one of the reasons I wanted to make sure that we were relatively on time tonight is so we can end relatively on time tonight, because, you know, we're a year later, we're about to get our first presidential State of the Union address. So that'll be interesting. Stay tuned next week, everybody, for that. But at the same time, that fight or flight response, and you can only fight so much before you just get tired and you want to stop and you want to just lay down and you want to put your head in the sand like an ostrich, which I actually found out recently is not a thing. Ostriches don't actually do that, but that's what your reaction wants to want your reaction to be, because that's how you feel, because there is so much negativity just flooding at you. And unfortunately, it's not just negativity from outside. It's not like, oh, look what the Republicans did. Oh, look at this Muslim band. Oh, look at this thing here. Sometimes that negativity comes from within your own house.
Yep.
And I know you and I were talking before the show, and I'll set you up with a segue here. Hold on. And I know you and I were talking before the show, and I was telling you that I'm Muslim. La ilaha illallah, Muhammadan Rasulullah. And that's not enough. I don't feel welcome in every mosque. I don't feel I can freely go into any synagogue that I want to go into. I don't feel, not synagogue, but mosque. I don't feel I can go into any mosque that I want to go into. I feel, and I work with a lot of Muslims, and I feel that sometimes I'm judged ill in a room because of how I look, because of my background. I don't look like everybody else. I don't talk like everybody else. And I got bad knees, so I don't pray like everybody else. I've told my wife on more than one occasion that if I get down on my knees to make sajood here, I ain't getting back up. So and it's we have a problem in house, and we need to address that issue, because we need to fix what's wrong at home before we fix everything else. Going back to the Bible verse that I was quoting you the other, that we were quoting each other the other day, was take care of the thorn in your eye, or the log in your eye, before you worry about the
twig in someone else.
Exactly. And now we will turn this back over to the Imam Azhar show.
No. Fellow listeners, yes, there's a lot of frustration. There's a lot of agitation. And as I said, I can't put my finger on it right now, but I can kind of gauge where this problem is emitting from. There are three great problems in the Muslim community that we don't talk about, and we don't want to talk about, because we don't want anyone to tell us that this is something worthy speaking about. The first thing, as Carl spoke about from his own personal experiences, is that we are very unwelcoming in nature. We are very unwelcoming for many reasons, because we don't feel comfortable outside our tongue. We don't feel comfortable outside our culture. We don't feel comfortable outside our social status. We don't feel comfortable outside the people we know. Now I ask you, why did Islam make it a higher virtue for people to go pray in a mosque? Because you congregate. Why did Allah tell us to pray Tarawih at night as a sunnah? The Prophet did it, but fast together in the day and break fast together as a practice, and to, you know, congregate together if you don't want to take the Tarawih or the breaking of the fast as something that is a divine decree, which is isn't, but it's a practice of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, then take the fact that we congregate for the Eid prayer. And if you don't take about the daily prayers, then at least think about the Friday prayer. And if you don't think about anything else like charity, but think about the pilgrimage. It's forcing us to come together from different races and different cultures and different backgrounds just so that we could have an excuse to say salam. An excuse. Literally, it's an excuse, because you're going to go to pray. It's not like VIP cinema tickets where you can actually select the seats of those chairs that have the vibration and the motion. You're just picking up any cinema ticket and you go find a seat wherever you can find one. And you'll be lucky to find one, especially if you come in late on a weekend when the thing is already full. This is exactly the problem. We have an unwelcoming nature. And I want to tell you these things, Carl, because since 9/11 till now, as Muslims, we haven't learned anything when it comes to us. Let me put this very clearly. When it comes to me, I've learned nothing. When it comes to others, we've learned a lot. When it comes to engaging politically, we've learned a lot. When it comes to talking against Islamophobia, we learned a lot. When it comes to standing for the rights of the LGBTQ, or for the Black Lives Movement, or for the feminist movement, we've learned a lot. How much, and I ask you this, you know, with all sincerity, and not you, Carl, tonight only, but our listeners, how much time have I exhausted on an annual basis since 9/11? To work solely upon myself. So the reason that we are seeing this continuous trend of, number one, being unwelcoming. We are very unwelcoming only because of the fact that we haven't worked to see that it is only through love and openness and kindness will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from any harm that's imminent. It is not in being rebellious or shunning people that we'll be protected from any perceived harm. That's number one. Number two, Carl, is judgmental. You know, we are so judgmental in our nature. It's all about, you know what? The guy's white. He's an FBI informant. The guy's
now,
white.
Now, listen. Honestly, I take that level of responsibility. I understand that the CIA and the FBI have messed it up just a little bit for me. I understand that. But at the same time, I mean, wallahi, to this day, my mother-in-law, I mean, in another year, it'll be 10 years that my wife and I have been married. Mm-hmm. And alhamdulillah. And to this day, my mother-in-law still jokes, he's CIA. And now it's a joke, but I acknowledge that they messed it up for me, but it's not always like that. Just because someone that looks like me or talks like me or comes from where I come from, just because we come into the mosque doesn't mean we're there to do harm. We're there because we're Muslim and we want to pray with our brothers and sisters. Don't judge or react based on my skin tone. And again, now we'll go back to the Imam Azhar show.
Well, but like, Carl, even if someone is coming in for an external motive, they have an internal motive for an external cause, they're coming in to do something. What do we know about the house of Allah that we learned from the grandfather of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him? The grandfather of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, you know what? Abraha's coming with an army of elephants to destroy the Kaaba. God has his house. He'll take care of it. I'm looking for my camels. I need my camels back. So no one's going to harm Allah's house if Allah doesn't will. Number two, what is it that we are doing so wrong that we have to be scared of people? Let the world come in and watch us pray. Let the world come in and ask us questions. But you know, Carl, The problem is we don't want them to. And we use a judgmental nature because of our ignorance. And I'm going to stop with that for point three. That's point three about the knowledge. But I want to go into the judgmental. There was an incident that I heard on a video that I related to a few students in my session over the weekend at University of Florida. Great kids. Islam on campus is doing a tremendous job. And we ask Allah for all our children, all of them, Muslim and non-Muslim, who are studying, that their heads are focused on their education and that they succeed with all the good that they're doing. But that being said, I related to them a story that touched my heart, which I think it touched their hearts also, was there's an imam who says that he traveled the world giving lectures and Friday sermons. He went to a mosque in London, in England, sorry, where when he entered the mosque to give the sermon, there is a guy sitting in front of him, Carl, right in front of him. And this guy is laden with tattoos and piercings and stuff. And while he's propagating this message, he's conveying this message of God and goodness and love and compassion, he is speaking to himself internally saying, what the heck is wrong with this guy? You know, first of all, doesn't he have any shame that he's come to the mosque and he's like this? And forget coming to the mosque, he's sitting dead in this in front where the imam is. Like, doesn't he have any shame about that? So while he's fighting this, his mind tells him, you're better than him. And he's like, you know, how could I feel that I'm better than this person? And so he fought that battle internally, right? Carl, we always have these battles in ourselves, but it's how we deal with them which defines us. So anyways, after the Friday sermon was complete and he was leaving, that man approached him. He said, excuse me, Imam, I need to tell you something. He hugged him, he shook his hand, said, this is going to be the Jummah for the books. I'm going to remember this for the rest of my life. He said, why? He goes, because this is my first Jummah. I was a Sikh, and just 2 days ago, I converted to Islam, and this is my first Jummah, and you have blessed me with that knowledge, and I'll never forget you for that. So look at that. He is telling us his story of his naive character of judging another person only so that we may take lesson and not jump to conclusions and judge people. But we're not welcoming, Carl. We judge people. You know what the third thing is? We don't want to learn, Carl. We have Muslims who are trying to explain that why hijab is okay. We have Muslims trying to explain why a man can divorce and a lady cannot divorce the same way a man could divorce. We're trying to explain why a lady only gets half an inheritance and a man gets double. We're trying to explain parts of our religion, and we're so fearful of these questions. In the last 14, 15 years, or more actually, 9/11 was 2001, so the last 16 years, what have we done to bog down and learn our religion and learn these things? People out there are using these points as ammunition against us in our faith. What are we doing to respond back? We say we have no time, Carl. We say we don't have the ability. We say we don't have access to the mosque. We say we don't have access to weekend programs. But can we pick up a book or the Quran tafsir and learn under where it says a man could marry up to four wives? Why a man can do that? When it says that a lady gets half an inheritance, why is that? Because it's all written there. But thing is, Carl, we don't want to learn that. And our excuse is we don't have time. When it comes to meeting with politicians, when it comes to going to speeches and programs, when it comes to going to conferences and functions, when it comes to meet and greets, when it comes to enhancing our academic skills, or when it comes to enhancing our political engagement skills, or when it comes to tackling anything, community development, we have time. But for our religion, we don't have time, and we'd get so scared if someone says, you want Sharia law? How many Muslims know what Sharia law is? How many Muslims know what Sharia is? We don't ask us that question. It's actually a thing that we don't want no one to talk about. We're hoping, as the myth goes, we'll stick our head in the ground long enough that when we get up, people will not have Sharia on their mind. They'll have something else on their mind to talk about. But guess what, Carl? 16 plus years on, it's not going to happen. Why are we not who we say we're supposed to be? Why aren't we welcoming? Why are we not inclusive and open? And why are we judgmental? You know, I want to end with this part, Carl, to talk about energy. You know, Carl, did you know that it takes more muscles of your face to frown than it does to smile? Did you know that?
I did, yes.
So it's medically proven, everybody. It takes more muscles of your face to frown than it does to smile. But we, for some reason, feel that frowning is the way to go. Like, why do the effort to smile? Just stay gloomy and frown all the time. In a similar fashion, good or bad, it takes energy. It takes time and effort, Carl. But the amount of energy and time that you will put into harm, half of that, forget half, a third of that is sufficient for good. I'm going to give you a story. Back where I live in Canada, a man popped up in the community. He came into the mosque, Carl. I want you to give me your first impression, honest impression, okay? In any of our listeners, they could engage with me on this one tonight. He had a nice long beard. He wore what they call traditional Islamic clothing. He read his prayers long. He was always in the mosque for the main prayers. What do you think about that guy?
Well, I mean, my initial reaction is that, oh, he must be a holy person to have the beard and to make such long prayers and to be so engaged. He must be very into his holy deen. He must be very learned.
Thank you. That you said, so you got the two key points. He's holy and he's learned. So what happens then? People start meeting with him. He starts meeting with people. And in their conversation and dialogue, they start affirming their beliefs. Man, this guy is knowledgeable. This guy has great thing. So what that leads to is number three, is that people could start consulting with him in affairs. I have a religious question. I have a concern. I have a predicament. Can you assist me on this? And what happens is, this is how you reel the fish in. If you want a bigger fish, you have to give before you get. Carl, you have to go to Winn-Dixie or Safeway. You have to buy a pack of chicken breasts maybe. And then you have to hook it onto your pole and you have to throw it out into the ocean. Why? Because with that chicken breast, you're going to attract hopefully more fish and bigger fish to bite on it. And that's going to be returned. You have to give to get. Make sense? So what happened is that this guy won the trust of many people. And he started saying, they asked me, what do you do in life? Oh, I'm an investor. I do this, that, and the other. Oh, isn't that amazing? You're pious. You're religious. You know your religion. You're God-fearing and you're an investor. Can I invest some money? Oh, no, I don't need it. No, I'll invest. I have money. Carl, long story short, he put on a drama and a play, not only in the mosque, but outside the mosque. He had people meet him in places where so-called other people knew him when they didn't know him. He set this whole thing up. Oh, hello, doctor. How are you? Oh, hello, businessman. How are you? Like, they knew him. And I was like, whoa, this guy's crazily amazing. And you know what? People started giving him money. His plot came out, but by the time his plot came out, he ran away with six figures overnight. Overnight, he took money from people, goes, yeah, I invested here. And then when he's talking, like, I mean, you're talking with me, Carl. I'm like, 1 second, Carl, I got a phone call. Yeah, hello. Yeah. Okay, $400,000, transfer it to him. Yeah, write the check. I signed it. Just write it. Okay, bye. Now, what are you thinking, Carl? Man, this guy's big, right? And what he did, he scammed people, he conned people, and he ran overnight. By the time they could get to his apartment, he was gone. So this is it, Carl. We have energy, we have time, we have resources, but we're putting it in the wrong place. If you want to drive to Miami from Washington or Virginia, Carl, no one's stopping you. But if you don't gas up and you don't check your tire pressure and you don't make sure your oil change is done, you know what's going to happen? You're not getting here. And that's exactly with us Muslims. So what is wrong with us? That's a question I'm going to leave out for all of you tonight. We have some serious problems, and these problems are only multiplying. They're not getting any better. And if we don't take it upon ourselves to fix it now, I promise you, no one's going to fix it for us. Because you know what Carl said in the beginning? We're the ones who broke it for ourselves to begin with.
And I think I will just simply begin the closing process by saying, remember to smile. It is sunnah.
Alhamdulillah.
We have enough trying to attack us, and I mean us as in the Muslims, we have enough trying to attack us from the outside that we need to be inclusive and welcome our brothers and sisters. no matter what they look like, just because this sister is from Sudan or this person is from Saudi Arabia or this person is. I actually, wallahi, I saw a mosque get, a beautiful mosque, beautiful people. I saw it get torn apart. Mm-hmm. From, I mean, in a metaphorical way, of course, but I saw it get tore apart because one brother decided that when they were praying, they were a quarter inch off. And it tore the mosque apart. And it broke my heart when it happened. So remember, ladies and gentlemen, to smile is sunnah, and it's easier to smile and say thank you and welcome and be open and loving than it is to reject someone because of the way they look or the way they dress. And, you know, I know you and I were talking before the show that, you know, if someone has converted to Islam and they have tattoos, embrace them, because it's really painful and expensive to get them removed. And they got them before they were Muslim. So be nice. It's okay. It's okay.
And call, even if they're not Muslim, still embrace them. They're human beings, for God's sake.
That too. No. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, we have reached the end of another episode of Raw Islam with Imam Azhar. I'd like to thank everybody that joined us online this evening and everybody that tuned in, listened, and enjoyed the show. I want to say thank you to the Venn Network. I want to make sure that we tell everybody to check us out on Patreon.com so that you can support the Venn Network and awesome shows like Raw Islam with Imam Azhar. And until next week, ladies and gentlemen, make sure to download us on Google Play. We will say, Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Total and complete shutdown of Muslims entering the United States. First of all, we should develop detention centers for them.
Everywhere there is Islam, you'll find women oppressed.
This has been a production of the Venn Network.